This is the Levels Network. I'm Justin Hall, joined live in the studio by Triple OG, Widamoo Mason, and you and our little mate at the back are back from Vegas. Give me the breakdown. I don't want to hear about footy. We'll talk about footy.
No, don't worry about the footy.
But talk about everything away from footy. I want to know. I want to know the travel. I want to know the nightlife, obviously. Yeah. Some good nightlife yarns. Yeah. And, you know, people that you ran into. The boys that you had dinner with. I want to know about the boys you had dinner with.
Mate, the week was great. Yep. It was absolutely great. The energy over there. Mate, it was just it's just a city. I've been there a couple of times, but it's just a city that just does not stop. It was ridiculous. So ever since we got – we left on Tuesday, I just say like lunchtime, right?
Yep.
We didn't get there till Tuesday, 11 o'clock. So our Tuesday went for like 40 hours. It was awful. Anyway, so Tuesday you get to the hotel.
Especially when you're going somewhere, you got to build up that anticipation.
Yeah, so we get there and I just – mind you, I just got back from New Zealand, right? I had 2 days over there, had a Monday rest, went there on Tuesday. As soon as you get to the hotel, it's like, what are you going to do?
Let's go
for a little walk, go and get something to drink. Next minute you're getting home at like all hours of the morning because like when you're in that, when you're staying in the hotel, everything's set at sunset. So like you just don't leave. You walk out of a joint, could be 8 in the morning, 10 in the morning, 12 in the morning. And like people just walk in the streets. You do that in Sydney.
Yeah.
People judging you big time. He's walking out, everyone's just doing their own thing and everyone's
no judgment.
A lot of you are doing that sort of stuff. I could see some other people. I'm not going to mention them. I would see some other people walking out of other joints. And it was just
other media personalities.
I saw them and just didn't care. We just give each other a little bit of a wink. Yeah. There'll be a heap of punters because there are a heap of Aussies over there. They're like, big night, really? Hey, what do you reckon? It's Vegas.
Do you reckon a majority of the punters that would have gone over would have gone for at least 3 or 4 nights as well?
Yeah, and everyone was great. Everyone was great. There would be no like dickheads or anything like that. I mean, we went out for dinner on the Friday night with those boys.
Shout out to the Brixton Bulls.
Brixton Bulls.
Good lads.
Mate, great lads. Yeah. We had this beautiful dinner. I got up and, no phones, no nothing. Got up, told some couple of old stories about Vegas when I was there. And they loved it, mate. And then we went out and they booked out Omnia. There was like a 20 grand table.
How good.
The Beaver come in. Yeah. You know, everyone else.
Levels Network in the background.
I think Levels Network up on the big screen there. But I think a lot of players knew that we were there. So they just fucking just piled in. They're drinking all this piss and shit. I was like, just let them in. Just let them in.
But you know, the beauty of that is obviously the guys reached out, got us, you know, we jumped
in. They were great people.
You told stories, but now you're going to be a part of their stories moving forward when they tell all their mates.
It was awesome, mate. And every day, like it wouldn't matter when you got home, you just get up and it's one of those places where you just want to go back out. You can't just sit in your room and feel sorry for yourself. I told Lukey that. He nearly did it once. I said, get up, do yourself a favor. Just go downstairs, get in the sauna or some shit and get the fuck out of here.
They pump your rooms full of oxygen.
I said, let's get out of here. Otherwise, you're going to do your head in and then you'll regret it. Yeah. So we're just going to venture out down the street, find some joint, find some people, just sit there, whatever. Or go downstairs, just have a drink, have a water, whatever the fuck you need, right? Go and get on a drip or whatever you want, but just don't sit in your room.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing you can do. Get out.
Makes you feel more sorry for yourself.
But the energy of Vegas picks you up. Hmm. And you just walk down the street and like, fuck it, let's go. You start getting that mentality again, get something to eat and then fucking see you later. Yeah. That's how you got to go. And then like, I know some people over there, some good people, and you just keep continuing. And then last night, mate, just the game day. Everyone was waiting for game day. So we're there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, right? Yeah. Friday was solid. Every day was solid. Every day.
I know, I seen the group chat.
Every day was solid, right? Yeah. Then game day comes. And then it's just like, I've never experienced anything like it. It was like being in a nightclub.
Do you reckon everyone would have sort of been like a little bit
apprehensive?
But battle hardened. And then by the time it kicks on, you get that atmosphere. Everyone's like, let's go.
Because a lot of people got there on Thursday. They wanted a Thursday, Friday, Saturday nighter.
Yeah.
Go home on Sunday or maybe Monday. So a heap of Aussies turned up. On the Friday.
Oh, sick.
So I was out with a heap of Aussies on Friday and then Saturday.
Because that's plenty for Vegas too.
Plenty.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, plenty.
Three's plenty.
Yeah.
And then like the whole game day experience was unbelievable. Like it's not like you're at Allianz or anything and they just pour you one little fucking shot. You're done. If you're in a suite, unlimited piss, you're drinking blue label whiskey, drinking the highest of the high, beers, free pours, everything like that. So they got everybody fucked, right? Enjoy. And then the games come on. And it was like two of the best games I've seen for a while.
It was awesome.
High quality.
It was a great showcase.
Absolutely high quality. And then you just like, I remember going out of there, like just walking out by myself. I don't know where fucking Lukey went. I just went, then just joined up with a gang.
Yeah.
And then end up at the penthouse at the Cosmo till fucking 11:30.
I stayed at the Cosmo at 15 when I was there.
Till 11:30 Sunday morning.
Oh, wow.
And we had 12:45 flight. So get up, just get home, get shower. Already, because I'm a vet, already packed, got everything out, had a shower.
Levels of that shit.
Got home, felt all right, about an hour sleep. Knew I had to be at the airport at 12:45, 2:30 flight, and then home. Got home this morning.
Awesome. Want to give a massive shout out to our partners, Tab, for taking care of everything.
Oh, it's fucking great.
The content that you got, specifically wrestling Paddy Carrigan and getting him under the underhook. She said you were going to do it.
And that was great. They looked after us. The Broncos were good.
They were
and
awesome.
I know those guys personally on a personal level. I know Kevy. I know Alfie. I know all those boys.
No one
there.
Gets Alfie like that.
Yeah, and Alfie, me and Alfie, we've got some stories, mate. And like it's just I've always respected those two blokes. Like I'm one of those younger when I was a younger kid, they were the OGs.
They were the OGs. They're your OGs.
And they probably remember that. Yeah, you know, we've been on kangaroo tools together, we played against each other. And then like, you know, you got these young kids like Payne Haas and Katoni and Paddy Carrigan. You know, Walshy, all these young kids, you know, they respect that what I did in the game, obviously. And then, like, you know, I'm all for the players. I'm not sitting there asking hardcore questions. You know what I mean? I'm all about, you know, how you're feeling now, what's Vegas going to be like, what's it going to be like after the game. Mm. You know, even I delved in a little bit of, like, what last year, having a chip on your shoulder about last year, what happened. I know it sucks, but I mean, like, what's that fucking
energy? You can tell
they've
got it.
Yeah, I said, what is it like? They're like, we fucking can't wait. And I think they're fucking going to be up there again. But they're great people. Thanks to Tab. And we're going to be doing a lot of things with the Broncos. But the players were awesome. That was a day before the game.
I know. Yeah, that was awesome. You know, Some really good access that they granted us.
Loads of Broncos fans were there. They travel. Yeah. They're fucking amazing people. We got to travel with those guys. And, you know, like they spent a lot of time. It was about 2 hours there.
Yeah.
It's fucking a lot. I know when you're playing the day up, you know. They just got there too. Because I was in San Francisco or San Diego. Then they got there and then they had to do this. You know, they love their fans. That's why the fans love them.
Well, that's interesting. We'll talk about that because I reckon preparation was a big part of the game.
Yeah.
But congratulations to all the teams that represented it. Obviously, there's an ugly issue at the end of the game, which we'll address. We'll talk about it. We're happy to talk about it. The Spencer Linu-Ezra Mam situation, which we'll get to. But I just want to give a massive shout out to PVL. Peter Volandi's
king.
So since I wrote down some things that he's done for the game since arrival and judging by your experience, Mace, you highly recommend it for all the punters to make sure they get around. This is eaten for the next five years.
40, if it's 45,000 now, it's 55, 60,000 next year.
Yeah, I agree.
Just because of word of mouth and just people will look at it and just go, holy shit, that looked good. Mm. You know what I mean? The stadium is like being in a nightclub. They had fucking DJs, all the LED around, and it's just like best stadium in the world.
Yeah.
Exactly. Especially to play rugby league. Obviously, you know, I feel sorry for the wingers get chucked into a cement wall. Yeah. They need to do something about
Toops.
Hey, Toops, sorry, bro. But, like, you know, they need to do something about that, but they'll probably fix that up. You know, there's 5 years to do. I'm not sure how. Maybe put some padding there.
Maybe. Yeah, in the corner
specifically. Put some padding there.
Yeah.
You'll get fucking. Because you know how wingers defend, right? I mean, centers and wingers, they'll pick you up and just drive you out.
Yeah.
They're lucky.
Walshy didn't even hit him that hard.
It was a bit of a gentleman's agreement, right?
Yeah.
Like, just, hey, if you're going out, just let him go.
Yeah.
You know, if that was NRL, you're getting fucking dragged 5 meters out.
Would have got resold. Yeah, a little bit of Paddy Carrigan.
A little bit of Paddy.
It sounds like if your team does make it or you're just a fan, and we've got some more, a few other ideas that we'll chuck in as we get going into the episodes as well. But yeah, I just wanted to highlight in particular what PVL's done. So when he took over in 2009, he got appointed in 2018. He steadied the ships for two clubs in particular. I think, you know, various different reasons, but the Sharks and Titans were in a real crossroads at that point. Remember, he's now obviously steadied them up. We'll talk about as I go through. We'll talk about the revenue now in the game. Not only did he manage the game through COVID, but we were the first major sport in Australia to get going twice because he also moved the game in the bubble a little bit later in the year when the new variant came in. He introduced the 17th team in the Dolphins, which we can all agree on was a success. And again, it's one of those things when he announced
when was the last time someone got introduced into the NRL?
97?
Talking 20 years, maybe 90, like who?
When I'm trying
North Queensland. But maybe that era that's actually stayed there.
You're throwing me off now. There'd be Titans. Would Titans be the latest after
after because the goal was Gold Coast Seagulls like from 92 or
correct.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Super League, they would have been announced in the NRL era.
Yes. And then they come back around about 98, 99.
Scott Prince, Luke Bailey, they're the OGs. Texas, Chris Walker.
So that's 2007 they got back in the comp.
Was that? Okay,
yes,
there you
2007.
Go. But, you know, everyone can agree that's been a success. went through some very strenuous negotiations with the RLPA when the players were looking like strike, and bang, goes and gets the deal done. You know, a part of that is negotiations, and why it dragged out is because of him, but that's his bread and butter. He confirmed the start of Vegas last year, and everyone was like, is this going to work? It's obviously a massive success, and it's going to continue to grow. And then only a couple of weeks ago, just before they all went over to Vegas, the NRL announced an operating surplus of $58.2 million after generating more than $700 million in revenue for a record-breaking 2023 season, in which television viewers, attendance and participation figures were all up.
We're number one.
He said on television, yes.
Yes, on television. Who cares?
It's AFL still smokers with attendance, okay, of course. Oh, yeah, got to give you flowers. Got to give them flowers where they are in front of us.
I know AFL's always going to get us in attendance. Mm. You know what I mean? But like, they claim they're the number one game in Australia, right? Because they turn up, but we're fucking...
Eyes on TV.
Eyes on TV, mate.
Eyes on TV.
Not everyone can afford $300 to take your family there.
That's true. That's true for a full package. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could cost about that much in this day and age. So watching at home is probably more affordable to the average punter, that's for sure. And he just got agreed upon on a term, and he had these comments. And the reason I brought it up is because after watching Las Vegas happen so successfully, I'm like, fuck, I hope he stays on. It's great to be appointed for another term, which was another 3 years, but there's no guarantees I'll do the whole term. He basically broke it down in an interview and said, it's been a tough slog. Mind you, he's doing this while also being the chief executive of New South Wales Racing all at the same time. He's an absolute dog.
He's a beast.
And we love having him on board, because when I was watching that, he was the first person I was like, man, he's done it again. He continues to do shit and get shit done. And
Well done, NRL.
I love having him a part of the
game. Well done, all the players. Well done, everybody who went over there, fans and everything.
Speaking of getting shit done, Lukey's fight is locked in the April 27th Gold Coast Convention Centre. Follow Alpha Events Co. on Instagram for updates. Lukey, that's all the partying. You've had your time in Vegas. It's time to kick the feet up.
Wrap it up, son.
Get those gloves out. Start sparring. Get after it, because it's going to be on. I want to thank, if you're new to, and this is the first time watching, we want you to go and hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you use. But YouTube is pumping at the moment, 21.5K. Mace, we got to 30K on Instagram while you're over. That was a target of ours. TikToks, kitties, we're flowing there, 53.7. And make sure you subscribe on Apple and Spotify and leave us a podcast review, because it all helps. It helps the show grow. And we really appreciate everyone who's either been on since day one, our ones from day one, or they've just jumped on board because they're starting to notice, they're starting to see us rock up in Omnia in Vegas. A massive shout out to our friends and our partners, BSC. BSC energy drinks would have been all the rage for all four teams over there at the moment. I know BSC are across the NRL, and we want to ask you, have you tried the latest energy drink in town? The ultimate solution for boosting focus and mental performance, a clean energy boost to power through your workouts. Enjoy guilt-free energy without any unnecessary sugar and carbs. You want to crack that?
Or 6 days in Vegas and you need one.
That you've pumped two now.
I know I've pumped.
You've pumped two. I tell you who also pumped them. I guarantee that they pumped them. Is our BSC dogs of round zero.
Absolutely.
Mace, we were back. There were multiple dogs.
Multiple.
But who was your dog of the week?
Oh, Hamole. Hamole Olakuatu.
Dog.
He's next level. I think he's only about 23, 24.
Yep, we'd be roughly that age.
This is prime time for this kid, prime time. He was getting early ball, like I was thinking that he should have got all last year. He's got that right foot, and then he's got pace to give you a little bit of an in and away, left palm on your chest. So good luck if you're the fucking left three on any team, because he hits inside shoulders, he hits outside shoulders, he can flick it, he can go indoor, he can go that way, and he can beat you with a pace. Mm. He's the full package as a back rower. He's an animal in defense. You don't want to run at him. I don't give a shit about his stats. I know he made about 180 meters off his – that's kiddies. And that's no kickoffs like all the front rowers do. That's just early ball. Give me the ball and fucking bigger, stronger, faster than you. I love that kid. And he bangs in defense and he's a fucking animal.
Ooh, let me give it – geez, that was a good –
yeah, he's my man.
That's our first dog of the year, and it was fucking outstanding.
He's a dog.
He had 16 carries for 184 meters, 84 post contact meters, one line break, six tackle breaks, 32 tackles, and I'm telling you,
they felt
all of them.
They hurt,
and he had one try as well.
Yep.
A couple of things on Hamole, because he was
in 80 minutes.
If you didn't pick, 80 of the best. the improvement, he's 25 years old, by the way. Yeah, the improvement from him from a couple of years ago in particular, Tommy Turbo's back.
Yeah.
Tommy was sitting predominantly, I'd say predominantly on the left edge. They started to get some joy on the right, but at the start of the game, he was floating probably more left, and that's his more natural side. He does like that side.
Straighten up.
So then that gives Homoli opportunities that he didn't get last year.
No.
Because he was getting double teamed last year because there was no Tommy Turbo on the other side.
DCE likes going left a lot.
And well, DCE would give him some early ball, but then the fullbacks would shift to that edge because he was the only threat.
Exactly. But have a look at Luke Brooks now.
Yes.
Luke Brooks can straighten up. Now he's playing. He's getting early ball. He's not that guy at West Tigers where they all pressure him. The game plan is shut Brooks down. You shut the Tigers down because he was so important. He's got that extra bit of pace. He squares up nice. Homoli runs those beautiful lines or he gets early ball. Brooks is going to have a good year.
Yep, I agree.
And I hope he has a good year. But he's got all the requisite players around him to protect him in defence because he gets isolated in that Tigers team.
Yep.
Now he's got Homoli. Don't run on Brooks's outside shoulder, because I'm always going to pump him.
Well, he was on the other side. So Brooks is on
DCE?
The left. DCE's on the right, but Brooksy's defense, and we'll get back to Homoli after this. Brooksy's defense on Latrell a couple of times where he's cutting down his legs. And I've said this before, people don't get like.
So is DCE right?
DCE's right with Homoli. Luke Brooks is left with Benny Trbojevic.
Okay, that's but a good combination. I must have mixed it up.
Yeah. Well, you probably would have had a couple of drinks too by the time of the game as well. So it might have been.
I just thought he usually defends on that side.
Brooks is always left, and Homoli's always been right with Chez. But
Chez,
back to your
him.
Point with Homoli, specifically in defense, a couple of years ago, and this is why I love the difference in Homoli's game than probably a couple of years ago, is he would have gassed out. Yeah. In the last couple of years. He looks super fit. Mm. He front-loaded his energy in attack, but not only attack and defense. He was really stinging. Shout out to Jakey and a few of the other guys we'll talk about. But he front-loaded his energy, and he was able to not only withstand that because they started really well, and then South pretty much got on top for the first 25 minutes, 30 minutes. He found a way to stay in the game. His fitness level is at a different level now. And they found some joy at the back end of the half and then kicked away in the second half.
He just looks like not a kid anymore. He's a fucking man.
Correct. Yep. And he's the leader of that pack now. Jakey's been basically the linchpin there for a long time. Yep. I reckon it's Homoli's pack. And I don't say that lightly because I've got so much respect for Jakey.
Big Paseka goes right. They've got a good balance of a pack.
Mm. Yeah. And they'll start
very well balanced.
We'll get to some more players as we go.
Shout out to Croker as well.
Yeah, Croker's
He started
well.
That shit.
Yeah.
He started was banging some players. Fuck.
All right, my BSC dog of round zero, he was back. So this isn't a guy that is continuing to improve. This is a guy that has been that dog for a minute. Thought it sort of got away from him a little bit last year. You know, when you got multiple things in the bag, you can forget what you're good at.
Mm.
And that's playing direct, and that's bashing the fuck out of people. And that dog is Victor Radley of the Sydney Roosters.
Love
he
it.
Had 18 Love carries it. For 165 metres. 56 post-contact meters, 37 tackles, and you thought Homoli was hitting him? Holy shit.
Fuck
in particular,
right,
mate, one moment in the game when I think there was a little bit of a loose ball recovery that somehow Payne Haas ended up on. He was outstanding too, by the
80
way.
Minutes.
Payne Haas ended up on a loose ball. Radley licked him, knocked Payne off his balance.
I saw it.
And then someone else tried to come in and make the tackle, and then Radley come again and try to finish him off. And I don't know how Payne Haas stayed in the field of play because Radley was just licking him, and he went after it.
Yeah,
no one
goes after Payne Haas like that.
I think you talked about you know it's got to be Lindsay, you know, with Jared Rea Hargraves finishing up, it's got to be Lindsay Collins, Terrell Mays coming through. They've got some really good young players. It's Victor Radley's pack.
I've never, ever doubted that.
Yeah.
Never. Because he's that guy. Last year, I think, the last couple of years, they really tried to fuck his game up because he's wild. He's just fixed that up. Mm. He's just playing. He's gone back to the lab. He's gotten fitter. It looks like he's fucking muscled up. He hasn't changed his game. He's just lowered his target a bit.
Well, I think offensively what's helped him out, Mace, is I think he got a bit trigger happy because he's such a good ball player, right? Yeah. You run that shape. And they had some real success there for a couple of years with it. And I think he got a little bit too pass happy.
Yeah.
He used the shape and he had a couple of nice plays. But for the most part, mate, he was trying to get forward. And what have we always said, the main problem with the Roosters, too many Chiefs, not enough Indians, yeah. right? When you have guys that require the ball, sometimes you need that guy to just fucking rip in. The game, and Rads did that.
The game really like rattled his confidence. A few things that were going on, like yeah, suspensions and that. Like it, really, yeah. That's the first time I've seen like
missing a lot of footy.
Some commentators were saying some shit. Mm. Like Victor's like blah blah blah. I never believed that sort of shit. He was just off a little bit. The Roosters were off a little bit last year.
He was playing on the edge.
Yes, he's not a fucking edge player. He's one of the best locks in the game. Yep. So for him to be playing like that, if he plays that all year, you get Lindsay Collins playing at a fucking Origin level every week. Spencer Lenu, all these sort of blokes, get Hargraves back. You're talking about a fucking hard team to beat.
Yeah.
Very hard team to beat. But as long as Victor Radley, he's the linchpin in that team, you can say he's the leader easy.
Yeah.
If you know what that team's built on, it's fucking Victor Radley. They've been off because Victor Radley's been off.
I agree. I think he's the heartbeat of that team. So when he's on, he's firing, he's playing aggressive. Everyone matches his energy and it straightens everyone up. Everyone else starts playing more square.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Mace, this is the part of the show where we interact with our listeners, which sets the culture of our show. So who better to collaborate with than Culture Kings, baby, looking who sharp, have jumped on board sharp. For the Round Zero preview and review shows, plus Round One. If you want to level up your fashion game, we have a 10% code for you to use online when checking out. Mace, right. What's the code?
It's Level One, capital LEVEL, number one.
That's it, baby. Remember to leave us a comment on YouTube for your chance to feature in the next episode. Now let's get to the
main one. That looks sharp.
How am I looking, baby?
That looks good,
man. How am I good? You cop one as well. We went into the Culture Kings on George Street just before the episode.
That's a golf one, eh? You love your golf.
The starter golf team, baby. This is post.
You love that shit, eh?
After I've just had a PB. So the first question is from Alistair Ferris, Mason. This is off the back of the impact that the game has had in America. Willie, did you notice that most Americans still can't differentiate between rugby union and rugby league?
100%.
Maybe 9 out of 10 Americans I noticed during the promos that the Americans that were interviewed all referred to it as rugby. How can the NRL differentiate and promote the difference effectively going forward over the next 4 years? Because they're going to be there.
Do exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had a rugby league game over there. The All Blacks have had games there. They've got USA Rugby. So Rugby League has never been infiltrated in that whole game. We had a game in 2004. That's the last game I played in.
Is that the last game? Where was that at? LA?
In Philadelphia.
In Philly.
In fucking November. No one turned up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're doing it in Vegas. Then you can explain every single week. Like I was out there explaining what's the difference and like because of the – or what I was explaining was like you get 4 downs to get your 10 yards. We get 5, right? Mm. And then you got to kick the ball. It's a yardage game. We do offense, defense, all that sort of shit. They still don't fucking know. But how can you fucking break it down? We just got to keep showing them.
More eyes.
That's it. You can sit there and explain this to someone. They wouldn't have a fucking clue what you're talking about.
I've seen that you're throwing the footy around too. Shout out to Culture Kings. Yeah. The branded Culture Kings rugby.
Like even that, like they have no idea how to pass the ball. They just like, it's just, they have no idea about the game.
Yeah.
Because their union team aren't that fucking good. All they do is play sevens. They've got a Carl and Isles and all these sort of blokes fast as shit, right? Mm. They're good at sevens. They're awful at 15s. So like no one cares. And the Yanks only have 4 sports.
So they did that combine over there as well. How do you think that'll translate? Do you think it's a couple of years away?
It's going to be ages.
Like probably this, about 3 or 4 years.
Even in the 5 years, we won't infiltrate anything. And they still probably won't understand the game because they don't fucking want to. But they want to go to the spectacle because it's a fucking good game to watch.
Mm.
So don't think for a second that there's going to be an NRL team over there. Because we're never going to break it, mate.
I don't think that. My question was, do you think a player part of this program in the next 5 years that we generate players that are not making the – can translate, you know?
Cause too hard.
Well, I reckon a lot of people would have said that about Jordan Mailata going to the NFL with no experience in NFL and but somehow
look how he's built. You know what they're built on. They're built on how, like, he's 6'8" with a fucking 7-foot wingspan, you know what I mean? He's big, strong, he's got good hands, he's got, like, he's quick, got quick feet. Like, if you're an offensive lineman over there, you're overweight.
But can you?
I see a linebacker doing it.
Can you? No, I'm looking at wide receivers that are maybe 6'3", 6'4", that run a 40 as fast as you back in the day.
Maybe a tight end
playing on the wing.
I see tight ends built like Gronkowski or something like that. That could maybe develop them out of college. Is that too much?
Mm.
They don't understand moving up, moving back. It's hard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intricacies where just say if you're an O lineman like Jordan Mailata and you teach him how to just move back and block. I know there's a lot more intricacy. There's a lot more to it. But if you're built like that and you've got quick feet and you're smart and you've been in a system before, you can't just wake up and be like Jordan Mailata. He's obviously got a brain, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So the transition.
He would have worked really hard in
He would have worked his ass off, you know, because he's been in the league system. He's been focused the whole time. But for an NFL player to even come out of college and even try to play in NRL, they'll come over and they might be all right defensively. Like if you run straight at him, no one's running straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are they fit enough? You only do one play, you get a minute off.
I think that would be the biggest adjustment.
It's the fitness.
The fitness.
You know what I mean? You got to get a defensive end, right? He could be my size, my build. He'd be fucked in 1 minute.
Yeah, gassed after a couple of sets.
Do you know what I mean? He wouldn't understand until he wants to break you in half and you pass the ball. What?
That's why I reckon wing is
he
the,
pass the ball. Like, what's
the one
he do?
Position
what?
Where they
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It'll be so hard mentally for them to go, I want to smash you, and then you just pass the ball. And you're like, what do I do now? How do I tie in? Like that's where coaching is going to have to be more one on one. It's very crucial.
Yep.
So they need to come through the pathways. Then they've got to get coached. They've got to get coached personally and then get to an NRL system.
And
maybe.
And have the right coach at that system.
Maybe. You've got to have the right people around this guy. Can't have just like fucking average like people who've never played the game. No. But it's hard. It's hard. It'd be hard. And if I was, I don't know. Like the pathways, because the NFL is so like, if you don't play NFL, you play CFL and then you're fucked. There's no system like over here. If you either play NFL, you play CFL, that's it. Or this is like in the German league.
Yeah, so many of them just go.
And they get paid fucking nothing.
Yeah. Here's another one on the same thing on the US market. This one's from Ali Day Devo. All day Devo. Hi, guys. I understand the US market is for cash, but why not try and crack South Africa? They have the infrastructure from rugby and soccer. World Cups, and you can get all the guys that can't crack Super Rugby. Thoughts?
I think South Africa is built to play rugby league.
Yeah, so
they're big, they're aggressive, they're fast, they're athletic. But union is their number one sport.
Of course. So you know
of all time.
It doesn't mean, even though we appreciate that their main sport, it's like the same as America. Like you're not going to get the best NFL players playing league.
Just say like New Zealand, right? Their main sport is rugby union,
correct,
right? And I'm like, fuck, we've still got a team there.
Yeah, but doesn't mean you don't try to get players out
like
of that
played,
region.
South Africa played in some World Cups when I was playing.
Yeah.
Like, they're just big, strong, but like they just don't look at it like it's a decent game. They just love union so much, probably more than union. And they just, I don't know, they've seen some of those players who play in the background on that?
Yeah.
They're fucking big, aggressive, fast, strong. Like they're built for league. I don't understand why we haven't even tried to get over there.
Yeah, same. That's the question.
Yeah,
I know there's definitely a league that happens for, I believe it's 6 weeks. Someone may correct me. We've talked about it before, but with the South African success in particular in rugby union the last 8 years, the athletes that when you see the South Africans in rugby next to all the rest of the other rugby union teams at World Cups, they just look big and strong.
And you've got to understand.
And they've got good engines.
Yeah, they're built for league, mate.
And they've got great discipline. That South African team.
So like, if you look at like just say if you go back for the history of the game, right? South Africa gets it's all government. You know what I mean? It's all about the government. So in French rugby league was the most popular game from 1900 all the way up to World War II. And then the president was a massive rugby union fan. Took all the money out of French rugby league and put it all into union.
Yeah.
All the schools and everything.
He made it legal too, didn't he?
Yeah. So back in the day, they used to get 80,000 to French games. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it was massive in Perpignan. It was massive in Toulouse. It was massive in all the south of places that were big, that union's big in now.
Yeah.
But the government just took all the money out of league and put it all into union. And that's what South Africa's like as well. It's all private school. It's all that kind of stuff. Leagues are like fucking trash to them. So it's the mentality. They just don't want to play league because it's like fucking, it's like over here.
Yeah, but you should still attempt to get the best young players that aren't making it in rugby union. Like there's opportunities. There's only so many teams that you can play for.
But understand, so it's just saying rugby union. If you're not good in the national team, where do you go? Go play in Japan. You go and play in France.
Yeah,
play over here. There's so many other options, right? We've got one sport. You don't make NRL. You just play local league, or you go to Super League, and you earn a fuck all. If you make one or two caps or whatever, the All Blacks and Wallabies and South Africa and whatever, go and play for the rest of your life in the south of France or in Japan, Wales, English comp. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many other options. Why the fuck would you play our sport? Look how brutal this sport is every single week of the year. State of origin, everything, tests and that. It's brutal.
Yeah, if you don't grow up in rugby league.
You just can't do it.
The opportunities that you get in rugby union.
They don't open, mate.
Yeah.
They do not open. And, you know, if you can play like if you play Curry Cup and you're really decent over there, you can go and play in this. You can play like in the French league. You're not part of the quota either. You're just like a local player.
Yeah, true.
That's why there's a lot of South Africans in the French rugby.
That's interesting. You mentioned Super League just before, mate. I first seen Anthony Galling talk about this. It's an idea. Yeah. It was a bit of a giggle on Instagram. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Everyone was asking why the Panthers weren't one of the teams that were being showcased. I believe they turned it down. I could be wrong, but I believe that they turned it down because they obviously had the World Club Challenge. His idea is, and I think it's a good one, next year play the World Club Challenge as a curtain raiser for the start of round zero on maybe the night before, because you got people that are traveling over 3 to 4 nights before. So you play maybe potentially a game on Friday night over there. It's the World Cup Challenge and then the round zero games.
I don't mind it.
And then what you do is, because obviously all four teams have the bye, that's why it's called round zero, so they're not playing until round two. The West Tigers currently have the bye for round one. Just make the World Cup Challenge team have the bye for round one as well. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Makes sense. Because the Pommies travel.
Well, apparently there was like 10,000 to 15,000 Pommies there.
25,000.
Was there that many over there, Lukey, or not?
There was 10,000.
Easy. Yeah, so Lukey was saying, yes, there's so many English fans. What's the flight? Can you have a look at the flight from, say,
12 hours?
12 hours, yeah. So roughly 12 hours. Nine hours, sorry. I like that idea, mate. So appreciate the questions. Shout out to Culture Kings getting on board with us for the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we plan on keeping them on long term as well. All right, mate. Let's get to the incident. This is the only time we'll talk about it. All the rest is really positive, but probably the only downer on the entire situation is the Broncos players were not happy with Spencer Lemieux, and it's, I guess everyone would have seen it by now. What's the time? It's Tuesday afternoon, 4 o'clock. So the news has unfolded, and I want to get this right. And I think we should take our time with this and really not, I think it's important.
Not just follow the narrative.
Not necessarily follow the narrative, Mace, but just this is a time for, I guess, we can educate people from our own experiences, being a Kiwi, you know, being of Tongan descent, you know, sort of how we feel about the situation. So after the on-field situation, it sort of exploded into the hotel room as well, where Bronco players were reportedly confronted. Spencer Lemieux, only hours after Ezra Mam alleged he had aimed a racial slur at him on the field during the Las Vegas opener. Sydney Morning Herald reports that players come face-to-face in the morning. Katoni Staggs and Lock Paddy Carrigan were involved in it. A Roosters staff member had broken Spencer Lemieux up. This is off the back of Spencer Lemieux also being interviewed straight after. Now, this is still allegedly, right, because it hasn't been confirmed. He hasn't denied it, but this hasn't been confirmed as of yet. I dare say there'll probably be a hearing tonight. But if the allegations are true, give the listeners our thoughts on it. And then the situation has sort of got even a little bit uglier with support from Latrell for Ezra Mam and a couple of other teammates and players in the NRL. And then what looks to be family members of Spencer, I believe potentially it was his brother. And then a back and forth on social media. The first part of this, which is at the lowest level of the problem with this, but why would the two teams stay at the same hotel together that will play in each other? So I understand that there are going to be hotel scheduling for the teams that go over, right? You save a little bit of money by packaging them together, but do not do that again.
They're on the different fucking floor at least. They're on the same floor.
They're on the same floor, I believe.
10 metres away.
That's crazy. So the NRL have to fix that for next year. If they're going to put two teams on the same floor, don't do the two teams that just played each other, because you're probably not going to see anything like this again for sure. Mm. But it just, you know, anything can happen in a game, Mace, where you get a high shot, you clip someone around the face, and that can translate into something that happened a little bit later on. This is a question that I've seen a lot on comments, which I've been sort of following social media, and a lot of people have questioned, can it be considered racist because he's Samoan and black himself? Do you want to, like, of course that can.
I don't know. Just say, my old take, he's a Mount Druitt boy, right?
Yeah.
He's from out west. It's like a product of your own environment. I think those words out west get thrown around a fair bit. You're from out there. Like when you played out there in those comps, like what is the vocabulary, right? What's the vernacular every time you play? It's a fucking fair bit of shit talk, isn't it?
So he played for Mitchinberry growing up. He was born in Auckland, but played out in Western Sydney, played at Mitchinberry. I played just around the corner at St. Clair Comets and Glenmore Park, Cambridge Park. My point, and I understand, and by no means are we saying that this is he's in the right for doing this, but he's a product of his environment, because in my time growing up in Western Sydney, the amount of the stuff that was said during those games and
the racism, it was crazy.
This is specifically because we were in a team full of Pacific Islanders, basically, compared to just say brothers, which was St. Dom's, which was predominantly all white guys.
Yeah.
And we gave it as good as we got to. So I'm not saying we were completely innocent. Like when we went at each other, some of the shit that was said to each other was hectic. And again, it doesn't make it right, but it gives you an understanding of why I don't think Spencer is taking this seriously.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You know what I mean? I think because it's like it's been part of his culture and out there, like I don't think people understand that. Everyone's just sitting in their little ivory fucking tower going, this is disgusting. This should never happen in our game. This fucking country is a lot of racism flowing every fucking day. Don't just sit there and think this is a surprise. You know what I mean? Like you can see how Spencer's just sitting there going, it's just part of the game.
Wait, let's quote him correctly. He said it was all fun and games.
It's all fun and games.
He also did not confirm he'd said that. So he was asked about the melee, he said it's all fun and games. So he was taking a very relaxed response, but also he's just finished the game, might not have expected the question. He's probably not super trained. Like Spencer's been around for a minute, but he's not a guy that I've ever seen interviewed before. Like he was a bench player for his whole career at Penrith. So after the games, you don't really see when Penrith win or lose a game.
Never seen.
You see Nath, you see Yo, you see Jerome, you see Dylan Edwards. You very rarely see Spencer. So he might have been before. Like it may sound like we're standing up for him, but I'm just trying to give you some context.
Yeah, we're trying to give you some context about like his upbringing, and obviously he should know better. If anything racially was said, like he will be punished. Right? He will be punished.
And he should be.
And he should be punished because there's no room for it. I get it. But I'm just trying to give people some context. When you grow up like that and you say whatever, if allegedly say shit like that, you don't give a fuck.
Mm.
Whatever you're fucking this and that. Wouldn't have said it like in a massive derogatory way. And then you put on the flip side, right?
Yeah.
Where the young kid Ezra Man, it's probably the fucking worst thing you could say to a brother like that.
Mm.
He's TI, you know what I mean? Like, it's a different, the way he would accept that is the most racial shit you can say. He's a young kid, Ezra, you know what I mean? Brought up probably with a lot of racism, and that word would have triggered a lot of shit, right? So if you call a person, you call a young brother like that word, allegedly, he's going to be fucking furious. And for him to say that on that spot, do you want to press a charge? Most of the time, if it didn't mean shit, nah, it's cool. Yeah. Especially with the brother said it.
Whatever happens to Spencer, and I'm sure it's going to be, we'll have an answer in the next probably 24 hours to whether the alleged comment he actually made or indeed he is punished on it. But if it was a white player, I think he would struggle to find even if he wasn't suspended, being within the
within this the like playing NRL group, right now
in his own playing group, in his own team, would really struggle to find a way to at least have a conversation with the team moving forward. Because, it would be so much more hectic for sure if it was a white player.
And if he has said it, if he gets found guilty, I'd love to see Spencer come out, own it. Say sorry. He didn't realize that he was going to hurt him like this. Own it and just say and get along with it, because he's going to cop a massive fine. He's going to cop a suspension. It's very, very important that they come out and they just shake hands. Sorry. Spencer says sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you like that. And if he had said that after the game, none of this shit would have happened. But in Spencer's mindset, as I'm trying to educate some people, he didn't think he said anything racist. I honestly don't. Why would he do an interview after?
No, I disagree with that. I believe he knew what he was saying, and he would have understood what the ramifications of what he said could trigger a play. Because when you say something like that, it's a remark that you're trying to get a reaction, right?
Well,
and for some people it can throw them off their game.
Yeah.
For Ezra, it was more than that. It obviously had a real effect on him because, again, we talk about the upbringing of Spencer, but also what that word could have been like for Ezra.
Well, that's what I explained. I explained that. It's totally different. But I'm just saying, okay, just say you've done that first interview and then they go, what? And he sort of threw it away. Then there's going to be a lot more lead-up questions, right? Media managers should be around him going, what the fuck happened, right? Mm. Did you say this? If you didn't, stand on your fucking 10 toes, right?
Yep.
Stand on it. If you did say it, you apologize.
Yeah, that's hard for the media manager because that would have been happened so quick after
I
the
know,
game.
But now. You're fucking flying home. You've got time. Did you say he should have a meeting? It's probably going on now with Nick Politis and all the big dogs. What did you say? Did you not say? If you didn't say it, we'll stand up and we'll back you.
Yep.
If you said it, then you're in fucking trouble.
Yep.
These are the conversations that need to happen. If you said it, you come out, you apologize to everybody and just say, I didn't mean it, but like, you know, because.
There are young kids that are growing up in Western Sydney now that this is still happening. That you're 100% right. It happened in my era. It's obviously happened in Spencer's era. It'll be happening now out in the Western Sydney comp. Maybe not to this degree, but this is a great opportunity for the NRL to say, this is uncalled for. So young Pacific Islander kids, young Indigenous kids that are playing our game, that are aware of the situation that's happened, it can be rubbed out and we can move on from. And I think what you said about Ezra and Spencer, one plays for Sydney Roosters, one's for the Broncos. They're probably not going to shake hands on it, but a phone call would be great. Yeah. My last question before we move off, what's your gut feeling on the suspension? What do you reckon he's going to get? And do you think the extra noise around what was sort of family members and stuff could add to the potential punishment? Because I think it will. Originally I was thinking the 6-game mark, but you mentioned the number 12. I think it could be half a season.
I think it could be 6 months.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it could be something like that because of everybody talking, because it's such a – because I think, right, just how great it was, the whole Vegas thing. It's fucking beautiful for the game and then
– All right, mate, let's get on to the games because the games were crackers. I want to go through Manly beating Souths 36-24 to start off with. And I want to talk – although he wasn't our dog of the week for round zero, it was fucking so good to see Turbo back.
Oh, yeah.
He had a presence specifically on the goal line. I thought when Souths were attacking for the first 25 to 30 minutes, you know when a fullback sits at that soft A position and he sends the defense out wide?
Yep.
When Turbo's there, it's probably – I know Latrell – got into it, which we predicted the other way around. Remember where I thought Tommy Turbo was going to have a crack at Latrell?
Yeah.
Latrell actually got Turbo with it. But when you have a guy like Tommy sitting on, say, a short side with a centre and winger outside him, you're able to shift more numbers to the open and the Manly defensive line can be more aggressive.
With watching like him, because I was sitting right behind the Manly line in the first half. Or second, I don't know. But his instructions behind the line and he's pointing and understanding where everyone is fucking like Billy Slater-esque, Snake-esque, all the great fullbacks, you know what I mean? Just understanding because shit happens real quick, you know that. Moving back rolls here and there, moving A's right there. As a ghost, you say ghost A. He's not a ghost.
No, he's genuine.
He's fucking there. And that's what I love about fullbacks. Like fullbacks think they can sort of semi-hide near the A. And then all of a sudden he goes, you expose the A goes like that and the A goes like that and the fullback's still going like that, then you get fucking done.
If you're at B defender and you've got, this is respectfully to Ryan Pappenhausen, for instance, Blake Taff, Jaden Campbell, there's no way that you're as a B defender, you're leaving and not worrying about them defenders.
And you're not
if I'm at B with Tommy Turbo, I'm taking whoever the first receiver is. Fuck dummy half because Tommy's got him.
Yeah, he's big and he hits like and Latrell as well. Mm. Like you're gonna run into those blokes, he's gonna ragdoll you.
Trell was so good in the first half, and I know he threw the intercept to Jason Subban. We'll get to Souths in a bit, but he saved three crucial tries. This scoreline could have been way worse in Manly's favour.
He was outstanding, Latrell. They were good. They were good.
I thought also with the attacking kicks, he missed a couple of opportunities, Turbo, but that's only going to get better as the season goes on. Those little dink and ducks from Chez and Luke Brooks. I'm not sold on the centre and wing combination that they got to begin with.
Garrick.
Gaz, Gaz was good. I thought Gaz was really good, and he's the guy that's going to become a victim of his versatility. But I'm not sold on Jackson Paulo on the left.
Fuck no.
I think he'll get another opportunity because It looks like Sabi did his hammy. So Sabi will most likely miss a couple of weeks. Therefore, probably Gaz will move to the centres and Tommy Talau will come in. But if everyone's fit and ready to go, I would have move Gaz Ruben Garrick back to the left wing, put Tommy Talau in the centres, and have Kola, who's a right arm carry, put Kola back on the right with Jason Saab and Olukuwatu. I think that's so much more dangerous.
I don't understand why wasn't that like in the.
I think it's trying to get Gaz more ball. I think it's because Ruben Garrick had such a good couple of seasons with Tommy
on the
out.
Fucking wing.
Yeah, no, but he played fullback while Tommy was out.
So he's a good winger. He's not a centre.
Yeah, I think it's more the team stronger without Kola Jackson Paulo
on the right side.
Yeah, Cole's got to go back to
Jackson
the right.
Jackson Paulo's find another winger.
Yeah.
There's a shitload of them.
Yeah, Tommy Talau on the centres for me. The halves were excellent. Obviously, you talked about Brooksy. You want to elaborate a little bit more on that? I just think he just looked like carefree.
Just looked like he enjoyed his football a bit. Mm. Defended really well, ran when he had to, gave early ball. You know what I mean? Like took advantages of like if someone's the cues, if you're sliding out, bang, he's going to beat you with pace. Got a good left fucking palm.
He's such a good ball.
He's a grouse.
There was nothing doing on that try. Nah, just took him on.
Just saw someone come out, pass the ball, boom, left palm. Good. He's fucking good.
When he floats on the outside, that he's got a real slow center of gravity that he can just
strong.
Do the strong. He's so strong, mate.
He's strong, man.
Chez was outstanding too. He had it on the string.
Everyone, they look sharp. And then Lachlan Croker, defensively, he set the tone.
Yeah, he did.
He pumped him and Totola and Kepi. Kepi copped a few.
Yep.
Because obviously his old team.
Yeah.
They got him a couple of times.
And he's that bigger body that you don't mind getting under.
Paseka played well.
I thought Nathan Brown had a real impact off the bench too. He just had a bit of a presence about him again. He's not one of those players.
Didn't try and go overs all the time. Just run direct.
Couple of tip ons, but they were really good tip ons. And then when he came on initially, he had a couple of tip ons. I was like, here we go. Fuck, he's passing too much already. And then once he'd set himself into the game, then he went the opposite to what you normally do. Normally you get in, take a few carries, and then you start getting the ball
played. It's okay to move the ball around first.
He set himself up, mate. Yeah. That's my point. So he set himself up with a couple of tip-ons. Then they started sliding off him, and then he was very direct.
But sometimes when he comes on, he tries to play these overs and overplay his hand and give people, like, pressure balls, right?
Yeah.
If you just catch pass, move the ruck around, get to B, and then you can move the line around, and then you can do whatever you want, right? Yeah. Like, Gus Gould was the king of that. He goes, when you come off the bench – give the ball to the blokes that have been on the field, you know, to move them around, to get them going again. Because they're going to come off in 5 or 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, got ya.
So give the ball to Paseka so you get him into the game. You can get into the game so quick, you know what I mean? Slowly, a little bit slowly, but move your ball, get your eyes up, you know what I mean?
That's super interesting.
Yeah, move the ruck a little bit. Yeah. And then your second or third run, you fucking pump it. Then you can do whatever you want. And that's what he did. It was great.
Yep. Another really strong performance, and he's backed it up from his trials. I think Benny Trbojevic, he finally looks like a first grader.
He does.
Respectfully, I reckon for a couple of years he was, you know, a part of the system and played a lot of
18.
Games because of his last name. He probably looked a little bit underdone, and this is what happens in NRL as well, where players take a little bit to get going. But
physically,
he is a fucking genuine starting edge back rower, and it now looks like Josh Schuster's going to be playing off the bench for Manly.
Well, you said that at the start of the year.
Yeah.
He can come on, he can play lock, he can play in the middle, move around. Defensively, he needs to be good, needs to be fitter. It'd be hard to probably squeeze him back in the side.
Benny's looked outstanding.
He's not going to start.
Yeah, so you're worried about him making the 17 altogether.
Yeah.
No, I reckon if he embraces
eventually,
the role.
If he plays a couple of reserve grade games, he needs about 80 minutes in reserve grade.
So he missed the games with the calf injury that was
lingering. Takes a bit. Needs to get that running back into his calf, mate. You can't just roll into first grade.
Yeah.
He can skill set wise, but what do you want out of him? Play 20 minutes?
I'm trying to think of the bench. Carl Lawton will definitely be there because he's so versatile. Then they've got Bullimore was strong. Nathan Brown was strong. And who was the last one on the bench? Fuck. I don't know. It's escaping me now. I'll have to go and look at it.
Well, this is why they played so well because they know they've got a bloke named Schuster who's coming back.
Iron sharpens iron,
iron
baby.
Iron sharpens iron. So you're going to try your ass off trying to win every game so your spot is guaranteed the next week.
Nathan Brown was the 7-8.
Brown.
Corey Waddell. Corey
can miss out.
Corey Waddell's going to be the player that misses out for sure. He only played 19 minutes. He's solid. He's a guy like, again, if you've got Corey Waddell as like, you know, you're 14 to 17 or potentially 18 or 19. This Manly team, hey, They can fuck around, mate.
They're good.
They can fuck around with this comp, especially if the number one's back there. Tolu Kola was good without being great. I thought Ruben Garrick, he led in the first try, but apart from that, he gave Richie Kenner fits for the majority of the game as well. Luke Brooks looks a new player. Chez is just going to be Chez. Turbo stays fit. Saab will be missed slightly because he's got that X factor. But yeah, man, this no, Manly team, it's good fucking.
I was impressed.
They've got the Roosters round two. So all the round zero teams play each other again. Okay. So Rabbitohs play Broncos and Manly play Roosters at Four Pines on the Sunday round two. So I'm really looking forward to that game. It's going to be a cracker. All right, mate, let's get to South Sydney. We mentioned him before. Trell, for me, he had three try savers in the first half. Like I said, it could have been a much bigger score. He was excellent. The Saab intercept, you'd love to have that back, but Saab's going to do that to multiple people throughout the season. Sit back in the pocket, bang, took off, and it was game over. He looked fit. He looks motivated, and I think he's in for a big 2024.
He's scary, man. If he's on, the whole team's on. Four pack were good. They were good.
Yep.
He's got beat by a better side. But Manly's good.
Yeah, I think specifically what we mentioned in the preview of the game, the class of having – they probably would have had Jack White starting in the left centres for a lot of their ball work. And
Kenner is
– and Campbell Graham only got injured 3 weeks ago. So Campbell Graham would have done a lot of the preseason work, you'd think.
If you're Campbell Graham and Jack White in your back row, I mean in your centres, it's a whole different ball game.
Mm.
You had Tass and you had Richie Kenner. You know what I mean? Like, they're decent players, but they're nowhere near as good as those blokes, defensively or in attack. So you put those guys in that team. Four pack does their job. So Cam Murray was a beast. You know, Kalon Matangi needed early ball.
I wrote down Cam Murray and Cookie were the usual standouts when they had momentum. Once they lost momentum, look, no one looked all that
great.
This is
the way that you can beat South all the time and you nullify Cook. I say it all the time. You've got to dominate the middle.
Mm.
You dominate the middle. You dominate Totola and Kepi, which they did. He doesn't run.
Yeah, and even when Tommy run. And that come off the bench, they did a good job. I'd say the bench did a pretty good
bench
job.
Bench did a good job, but they need to obliterate that other pack. And, like, I think Manly knew that and they dominated from the start.
I'll tell you, they managed to, and he's good for at least a couple of these a year. And you generally get him early, and then he fixes it up and gets better with it. But they really frustrated Cody. There's a lot of push and shove around Cody again. He got caught up in, you know, fucking pushing Saab after. I don't know what was said or what happened, but basically Saab didn't look like he'd done anything. And then he started getting to Saab, and it's like, fuck. You could see. I was like, Cody's off his game already. Lachie Ilias, another one. Up and down game, he comes up with that real big try saver on Saab, but before that, he dropped the ball. The noise around him, and if they don't get a win early, they've got Broncos round two. And then I know they've got a tough draw to start the year. The noise around, in particular, it'll start with Lachie Ilias, and if they don't start getting results, the noise is going to be around Jason Demetriou.
Who comes in for Lachie Ilias? No one.
I think Cody Walker could potentially play halfback and Jack White in 5'8".
Yeah.
Or they've also got the kid Hawkins, who was 18th man. He's gone really well in New South Wales Cup for him for the last couple of years. But I believe in Lockie. I think Lockie's got it, but I think he's got a lot of fucking anxiety around. He looks like he's playing with a lot of a lot of pressure.
He can't make mistakes like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And we expect it from Haas, but this is his fourth year now.
Yeah. In the position that he's in at the moment, you can't really afford to make mistakes.
He's not really, he doesn't get the lion's share of the ball. You know, he just needs to do his thing, organize a pack, organize that right side or left side, wherever
How tough is that for a player, though? So
Hard, mate. I told you, last year we had this conversation. You'd be the hardest fucking team to play for if you're a halfback.
Mm.
You've got two of the strongest fucking blokes in the team. Wait till Jack comes in the side, right? You got Cook, Cam Murray, Cody, and fucking Latrell. He's fifth.
Yeah,
he's a halfback. We talked about this with Sam Walker.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, he's the fifth option, and that's not good for your halfback. He should be first.
It's hard to get a
or rhythm. Second. You know what I mean. Like, every time you can see the body language on Cody and Latrell. Every time he goes right, and if he doesn't come up with the right play, they're like, you can see it. Mm. The camera's never really on, but you can watch him and go, fuck.
Mm. Yeah, especially if they come up with the play.
You don't want that. You know what I mean. You need to let him go. If he sees it, the amount of times that he saw a long four from the post And then they caught it on the left when he should have had it on the right.
Got to take it.
It was 5-on-4. They never took it because they don't fucking trust him. He should just get the ball.
Do you think he's been aggressive enough or no. just like his voice wouldn't be heard anyway?
No, because of the combination with Cam Murray and Cook and Cody.
Yeah, and it works so well on the
left. It does, it does. But like sometimes if you see that long, if you see the, so in the middle of the post and they got four from that left, from the right post, four. Even the fullback switches over. Latrell's not there on that other side. He's on the other side. So there's 7 or 8. And they still go left.
I love the variation on the try for Alex Johnson. So I don't know if you would have seen it live, but basically they did the shape with Cam Murray. And instead of hitting Cody Walker out the back, you know how they do
it went over the top, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know how they do the tunnel ball from the center and back rower?
Yeah, that was mad.
With the fullback and sometimes hitting the winger. They did the tunnel earlier. So Cam Murray went to the line, Cody Walker was at the back, and instead of getting Cody Walker tip on to then do the, we used to call it
went two over pass
freshie, and went straight through to Colin Mantungi.
Yeah.
Colin Mantungi. Richie Kenner ran the down line. Out the back to Terrell. Terrell, quick tip on Alex Johnson.
That was a mad try.
It was nice. It was a very nice variation on a play that gets done. Because
everybody looks at Cody, he's the key.
Yes.
It's fucking great.
Well, because they were so aggressive, they wedged in and missed their guy. Because what you do is if you identify it, you can come up and in and get Cody. But because it went straight to Kalama Tungi, it really threw the defense out.
Because when they execute right, you can't stop their plays.
They're so good.
Like, you can't stop it.
If they get it out in front, it's game over.
You cannot stop them. And that's why they always go that way, obviously. Because, like, 5 times out of 10, they'll probably nearly score or get a quick play of the ball. Like, they score usually. Like, if everyone runs the right line, they nail it.
Yeah.
And whoever pulls the trigger, like, it's hard to stop. Cam Murray's the main key with that.
Cam Murray was good again.
The lead runners and everything like that. They're such a good team.
Also, I'm not worried about South. I mean, Manly were better, but how do you see South?
I like
South. Overreact, underreact?
No. It's an overreaction about them.
Yes.
Let them be fine.
Yeah, I agree. Week 3, they get Jack Whiten back, and that'll be a bit of a different
team. They don't need injuries to the middle, I'm telling you, because there's no like real depth.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of who wouldn't be playing there. They're not a Shaq Mitchell, guys like that. But you're right. You can't afford, like any team, you can't afford to lose
some quality middles.
You lose quality in any position.
You've got Totola and Kepi.
It's very hard, yeah.
They're good players, but they're not going to go hard against Totola and Fisher Harris.
Tommy Burgess. I mean,
they're not going to go hard, but they're going to get beat by those guys.
Yeah. All right, mate. We spoke about this game and the incident that happened in the game. But let's talk about the Roosters, who were outstanding, 20, beating the Broncos 10. And you've been backing him for a minute when I've sort of been critical in the past. And that's more to do with, I'd say, his origin status. But Teddy sent a statement round one, and he's got a poor round one record since arrival at the Roosters. But what a perfect time for him to turn one on in Vegas. Everyone watching, he was outstanding.
Yeah. He's legends like that and great players. Like, if you piss them off like that, this is what I expected from Teddy, right? Everyone's been a little bit harsh, a little bit critical. It's the first time he's ever copped a little bit of criticism in his game.
Do you think the last 12 months? Yeah, apart from that, no.
Never.
Yeah. Even when he was a kid coming through the Tigers.
When he was coming through, he was the next big thing.
Yeah.
Then he went to the Roosters and he is that guy. And then he come out in the trial game that we saw and played 70 minutes. He doesn't have to play 70 minutes.
You caught it too.
He played 70 minutes and he was keen as hell the way that he was running.
It wasn't smooth in the trials, but you did call it. He went after it for 70 minutes.
His first hit up was like fucking flat out. This game, they love him. They love him.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So they want to do everything to help him. Like he's probably down on confidence, right? A little bit. And I don't think his stats in that, just because he's not running 280 metres a game, he's still running over 200.
Well, I think that serves him better when he takes it back a little bit but has better quality as well. And I thought the two guys that the leaders of their team, and when Radley and Teddy are playing direct, because Teddy's never going to be that fullback that's going to strip you for shape and throw the mad double cutout like Scott Drinkwater, Reece Walsh. But that's not in his bag, and you don't expect that from Dylan Edwards either. But what do? They give you 20
non-stop.
They give you 20 carries. They work hard defensively. They turn up and you know, they're just always in the game, and I thought he's outstanding. And I reckon when you have guys like Radley and Teddy just really putting a lot of pressure on and playing nice and square and playing tough through the middle, then you get those glimpses of class from guys like Joey Manu, who you're normally trying to figure out a way to get him in the game.
Yeah.
Once the game becomes like a bit of an arm wrestle, that's when you get the best out of guys like Joey Manu.
Yeah. They looked impressive. We said it from the start. We said it all year. I mean, all year, all like preseason.
Mm.
They get their shit together. They got the best individual pack, not individual pack, individual side. If everyone's on, if everyone can play it like a 7 or 8 out of 10 in that side, they're dangerous, mate.
I think they've got the best on paper 25-man roster.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like if they play their best every, you ask for a 7 or 8 out of 10 every week.
Mm.
If they give you that, they'll go close.
Yeah, and like, what I mean by that as well, a lot of teams have a good 17, but if you get a couple of injuries, a couple of teams are fucking done.
Yeah.
Whereas they look like they've lost Billy Smith, who got ruled out before the game. Obviously, Joseph Swali comes in. He did his hammy or calf in the lead-up training over there. So that junior Pongal come off the bench and played on the wing.
Yeah.
It looks like they've lost Sitili Tupanua, who went off after 42 minutes with a HIA.
Oh, okay.
Angus Crichton comes in, sweet. Or even Egan Butcher, whatever they decide to go. Maybe Nat Butcher starts and then Egan Butcher comes onto the bench. And then obviously Spencer Linyu is going to get...
Says a lot when Angus Crichton can't make your team.
Yeah, and if Spencer Linyu, he ends up getting suspended, and then they've got a guy called Jared Rory Hargraves who can come back into the team.
Waiting to come back.
Speaking of front rowers, again, he started the same way he finished last year. Terrell May is their... Fucking,
he's that dude. He's not that dude yet, but he's played like he's starting to be that dude.
He's very close to being that dude.
Well, if Lindsay Collins is fucking playing for Australia and Queensland, and he's getting outshone by Terrell May,
and Lindsay Collins was good, but like Terrell May can be as good as Lindsay Collins. Like that's the scary
thing. That's what I'm saying. I expect Lindsay Collins to be that dude.
Mm.
I don't expect a young kid who's played 14 games. Or 20 games to be better than a guy who's played test football and fucking Origin.
So
ever.
You know what you start thinking? You're thinking about the great team. So when you've got established players that have been around for a minute, deserve it, got paid like that, and you've got a guy like Terrell May, who probably I'd say would be on a couple of hundred grand, his contract, because this is before he got, unless he got upped in the offseason, I'd say he'd be on roughly 200 grand and he is playing like a $600,000-$700,000 front rower. He was outstanding.
Yeah, I expect more from Lindsay. I expect him to play how he does for Origin.
I thought Lindsay was great.
Yeah, but I just expect more. He's a fucking 6 foot 5, 120-kilo beast.
Mm.
I want him to fucking break lines. And I want him to snap everyone.
Yeah, of course, like front rowers. Also, like the beauty of Lindsay Collins is he's the same dude for 65 minutes. He's the anchor.
Yeah.
So you've got to find a balance
He just hasn't got that mad explosiveness in him.
But he always comes up with like, diving on loose balls.
Yeah, he does all those little things.
Slide, making tackles when remember like the game against Parramatta when he had like three try savers last year? Shit like that. Like the other guys can front load their energy and he knows he's got to be out for 65.
It's round one.
And it's round one, yeah.
I just want him so I reckon he's been playing Origin and Australia. Like he's been a good player, but I reckon he can just be way better.
You think he can go to another level?
I reckon his ceiling is so fucking high.
Mm.
That's why I'm not harsh on him, but I just know how good he can be.
Yeah.
Like I've seen him play at fucking Origin. If you dominate Origin easily, it should be your fucking club level shouldn't be that hard. He should be just fucking running over everything.
Mm.
And he's got all the fucking skill set. He's got the nice pass. He can do everything.
He's got all the bags.
He's fit. Hits hard, you know what I mean? If he can put that all together for a whole season, he'd be the best prop in the game.
Speaking of looking fit, I thought Cheese looked super fit.
Cheese looked good.
He's back.
They look good.
It took him a while to get adjusted to the Roosters. I think he would have found his feet a lot earlier if he hadn't, I think, did he break his thumb at one point?
Yeah.
Last year and he missed about 6 weeks. At the back end of the season, he sort of figured it out. He's probably not going to be that explosive ball runner like he has been in the past. But
if he
works his way into the game like he did, where he's like deliver, deliver, have a little stab every now and again, deliver, deliver, set the defensive line, make sure the line speed's good, then he can have another. He can have a real big season.
I wonder what they want to do with him. Do they want to play him 80?
No.
Well, I think just say if he plays like 40 or 50, give him a bit of a rest. Put
Sandon Smith
on at 9.
Mm.
Put him and then put him back at lock.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Give Victor a bit of a rest.
Yeah.
You know, bit of a rest. So because
Victor played 80, didn't he?
Yeah, but he like it's going to take it out of him, right?
Yeah.
You know, like just give Victor like Victor plays 65, 70 and he's just quality bashing blokes and just like distributing the ball, everything like that. Give him a little bit of rest. Let Brandon Smith come on. Run like he does because he still loves to run.
Yep.
Not ball play, not anything. Just straighten that ruck up.
He had a couple of shots, yeah.
Yeah, but like let him do that because like at nine he's got to distribute the ball all the time because you got your Sam Walkers, you got your Victor, you got your Victor Raelidge, you got your fucking Kiris. They need the ball.
Yeah.
You play off quick. He runs off quick. Play the balls, you know. And then Teddy comes through. Like they got if they work that shit out, they're going to be very hard to beat.
If they play direct and just wear teams down, then I think physically they're just going to do that. I think they're just going to tire teams out. Yeah, that was super impressive. The Broncos, on the other hand, they looked flat right from the kickoff. I'm not too sure what the preparation was like or if it was that grand final hangover, but they looked tired from the opening whistle, Mace.
Maybe they were just fucking – they were over here too long.
Well, I don't know. All the teams were over for the exact same time.
The travelling, like
– the same for all teams.
Yeah.
All four teams.
Well, maybe – I always said, hey, one team's going to be off. Hmm. One or two teams. That's why I backed the Roosters 13+, remember?
You did too.
Yeah.
You nearly got it.
Yeah. I was fucking sitting there going, get the fucking last try with a minute and a half to go because I knew one team would have been off. Maybe the Roosters, maybe someone else.
Yeah.
Because these teams, it's different. It's hard to get a gauge on round one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Brisbane wanted to come. What ruined them?
That's so close, mate. You deserve that 13+.
Piakora went off, right?
Yeah.
And then you got Carrigan going back to that edge. It fucks the balance of the whole Broncos up.
100%.
Because you cannot have Carrigan on edge. They did that back in the last year and it ruined them. Not ruined them, but they were off because Payne Haas had to do a lot of their fucking work and he was sitting on an edge. I need Carrigan in the middle so he can get Payne Haas. And then he can get off the back of Payne Haas. When he was on the right edge or left edge, he can't get behind Payne Haas.
I agree.
So there goes. And then when he gets behind Payne Haas, he's got that beautiful like block shape all the time. He digs in, he does what he wants. He bangs blokes and like he just fucking, you know, he goes after it. He can get him behind A. You put him on one side of the field. Just fucks up half his game is all predicated on quick play the balls, getting behind, being smart, little tip, get behind the ruck, block shape, all that sort of stuff. Hit blokes from A, lead line speed. You put him in left edge, you got a different mindset. You're counting numbers. You got to get people here. Are you going to get early ball? Probably not. You're fucking kick chasing all the time. So it took him out of the game and it fucked him.
They got rolled defensively and they had no rhythm in attack.
They got rolled defensively because he's sitting on the left edge and he can't bang because you're sitting there trying to get your middles to go because you got Jensen on, you got fucking Smoothie on, you got all these other guys, you got Hetherington. Small bodies, Hetherington. Roosters just bang, bang, bang through the middle. Where Carrigan is a guy who sits next to Payne Haas,
yep.
They can both hit.
Yeah.
And then Jensen's there.
Do you think they really miss Flegler as well?
And fucking hope they miss Flegler. Mm. But Jensen did a job. And they didn't fucking play Willison.
Why didn't they play Willison? Why did Marty Tapu start?
I don't know. I thought Marty played well as well. I thought he ran hard.
Marty was
but
okay.
I'm fucking, I want Willison in the team.
I had a
good chat with him when I was there. I said, mate, you could be fucking anything.
Yeah. Good
no
kid.
Great kid.
Yeah, we'll see.
No one's gonna fuck with you, kid.
Yeah.
So just gotta bide your time a little bit, learn your craft, got Payne Haas there. But be that dude. You'll be that dude in a couple of years, mate.
Yeah.
You just got to focus on the game, get your fitness up, hit hard, tackle tech, run the ball, have a fucking skill set, pass.
I wonder if he was injured. He was one of the most impressive players
to beat people about three times. You'd be able to bull rush blokes straight through their chest, late footwork, pass the ball. If you have all those fucking positions, if you can do all those things, you'll play for Australia easy. You'll be playing for Queensland in a year or two, maybe even fucking this year.
I think he's Kiwi, bro. What are you trying to get him over there? Play for the New Zealand Māori.
Fuck.
Kiwis, baby.
I
think he's Cook Islander as well. So
yeah, he's Cook Islander.
I wonder what his allegiance is because you can play for New Zealand Māori, be like Dane Gogo, and also represent
Australia. I reckon he wants to play for Queensland.
Did he say that?
I just got the feeling.
Fuck.
Because he's fucking Queensland born.
Yeah, it's crazy. Obviously, Piakura goes off in the first minute, which throws everything out. But just the timing of do you think in particular, I think it was Laurie Daly who talked about the field dimensions playing a part for the Broncos because they strip you so well for numbers on those nice, beautiful shifts. That extra meter in and two really played was a
big
detriment
time.
Against the Broncos.
Big time. Because you had to play on through the edge.
You had to play through
Kalama Tangi, like he was going through. Like Ola Kuatu was scoring on the edge because they didn't even think about going wide.
Luke
the only
Bruce
team that could was South when you're doing that fan shape, that beautiful shape that they had. That was the only one when they got it. It's all show and go around the numbers.
Mm.
It was always around the numbers. get on the, you know what I mean? Like, it was always like, that.
Explain the numbers.
Through the middle.
Three,
so where the numbers are, and then you go in between those lines, those dotted lines outside the numbers, you try and get on those inside lines, and then you can split it like the 6-4 split.
Mm.
And then you can have a crack. You've got back rowers like Olakau'atu, Kalol Mutungi, Ben Trbojevic. You've got some guns, man. And that's where they went. And you just go through the middle.
Yeah.
No one was trying to get out wide.
Mm.
No one was trying to get out wide because
the Broncos were.
Well, yeah, and yeah. They fucked it.
Mm.
One, there's a brick wall there.
Yeah.
And you don't want to run into that, Ax Toops. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, you don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Because that 3 meters, like, you know, when we talk about shapes, right? It started from, just say, from the right side post and you're going that way. These half a meters in the middle, it's like fucking huge. 5 meters out there. Yeah. That's why you see wingers scoring the tries just like that,
yeah,
and the sideline's
right.
Fucking there.
You're right.
This time when they're catching a ball, three people,
yeah.
Shit. Now I have to come off, come back this way, and you fucking pump.
Yeah.
Teams weren't doing that because I was watching. I was like, no, and the wingers didn't want the ball. when they were you're right in the middle of the field. Like if you're going that way, wingers are just going, fucking, they'll wait for a cross. A
couple of wingers got it and looked over and went,
hit the brake. Straight off. Yep. You got to, because the ground's so fucking thin and fast as well. And all those defenses are coming up and sliding, trying to pick you up and just drive you into the fucking fence.
Yep. I think a guy, I don't know how he does it, Mason. I know we love him, but even in losses, you've got to highlight him. Payne Haas, again. How he just keeps turning up when every single player, I'd say, probably him and Jordan Rickey had the best energy out of anyone. Jordan Rickey was working his ass off in defense.
He was going hard.
And physically, like, I thought he was really good. But Payne Haas was noticeably fitter than everyone in that team. And maybe Paddy Carrigan, because we didn't get to see as much as Paddy because Paddy was stuck on an edge. But I thought Payne was just heading above everyone else. Man. Like, his fitness levels. One, he's like...
Like he always
is. How selfless he is as a player. Like, how he just gets in and takes carries when they're getting rolled like that and keeps turned up in defense. He is a freak.
Absolute freak
in
nature.
He needs to win a couple of comps because I know there are players that have done more than him in the game, and I speak specifically of Glenn Lazarus, who won competitions at three different
teams. If you talk comps, if he wins a couple of comps, he's going to go down as one of the best.
He's got to be up there, mate.
Because no one plays like him.
No.
I mean, imagine him playing in the 90s.
You'd just destroy
fucking them. Destroy everything.
Yeah.
The 80s. You know, like imagine Payne Haas in the 80s.
Big Guardian.
No, fucking, no one would stop him.
Mm.
You know, he's the best prop in the game. I want him to dominate Origin. I want him to dominate Tino. I can't wait for that shit to happen. And then he's really going to fucking.
You can't help yourself. You're always going to start talking about Origin, don't you?
Yeah, but I just want Payne Haas to fucking dominate Origin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sick.
He does need to do that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
him and Nath probably just need their big Origin moments, don't
he
they?
He needs a couple of Origin men in the matches.
Mm.
And then he'll be put up with the greats. A couple of comps.
That's fair.
Get a couple of comps. Get a couple of men in the matches. And then he's fucking retire.
Yeah. Or just he'll go down as one of the greats. Last little change. We joke around a little bit. I saw a berry smoothie. I've seen enough. Smoothie's a good, solid guy, 19 to 23, but they need – I think this team is a couple of young players really emerging from being what I predicted them to be, a grand final team, potentially playing against the Melbourne Storm in the grand final. I think I've seen enough of that bloke, Blake Moser, who comes off the bench for him. He's got a little bit more variety in the trials that I've seen. I think it's time to have a crack at him. And I don't know if there's going to be any politics with that because you've got to think about it, right? You've got this young gun nine that everyone's been talking about for a minute there, but the head coach's son plays nine. So what sort of minutes is he going to get? We'll see. I'm not saying there's any favoritism, but I want to see more of this Moser because Smoothie is a solid 19 to 23 guy. He's been around for a minute now and he's a bit stockier.
He doesn't get enough minutes, man.
He doesn't get enough?
I haven't seen enough of him. Yeah. I've not seen enough of him. All I see is him getting on and just fucking making tackles.
Mm.
It's hard. Like, maybe start him. Give him 3 or 4 starting jobs.
Mm.
Let Billy come off the bench or something. They go, okay, let's see what you got, you know?
I want to see what the kid's got.
And then see what the kid's got. Oh. You know, like, I think if they start getting dominated around the ruck and have no variety, because sometimes when you got a pack like they did last year, it's good to give early ball, right, to Flegler, to Payne Haas, to Carrigan. It's all right. You know what I mean? But when you just got Payne Haas, you know, like, and Carrigan, You need and Carrigan's on an edge. You need some direction and a little bit of evasiveness.
Well, that's
from
why I
nine.
Think you need more variety. Well, that's so what I'm saying. Moss is the better one. The more
that's
he's
what
got
I'm
more
saying.
Variety
so they might be thinking, well, I just can't have you run passing off the ground and making 50 tackles.
You know, they're going to need a little bit extra.
You need a little bit more variety against the really good defensive systems.
All right, mate, let's go through the results. I got my results because obviously I'm having a little bit of play. You're not a big punter. So my tips from round zero, Manly plus 1.5, tick, $1.90. Luke Brooks anytime.
Yes, I was cheering for that.
Tick, $4. But I wasn't on your 13 plus bandwagon with the Roosters. Yeah, they didn't get there, but they deserved a 13 plus. I was Broncos minus 4.5. No, and my man, your man, not Ezra Spencer's man. Ezra Mam, $3.
Definitely
10.
Not Spencer's man.
No, for Ezra Mam as well. So I'm over. I'm in the green already to start the year.
It's close.
2 from 4, but some really good odds on Luke Brooks, $4.
Yeah,
as nice. Always, we want everyone to be playing safe during this footy season. So please keep front of mind, what are you really gambling with? And if you need free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858. Mace.
Going to sleep.
Go home, get some sleep. Get ready. We'll be back Thursday morning and we'll find out what the backlash for these last couple of days is going to be.
All right. See you guys.